hospital food isn't exactly known for its fine dining credentials. If you've ever spent time on a ward, you know the kind of meals that show up on that little tray. They're practical, they're predictable, but have you thought about how they get there? If you think of all of the patients on all of the floors in all of the hospitals, you realise it's a remarkable amount of food. And it's not just hospitals. The government is also feeding people in aged care homes, prisons, defence facilities, long day care centres and more. So a new report has mapped out, for the first time, Australia's food procurement system, and the numbers are staggering. The report is called Transforming the Public Plate for People, Place and Planet. It estimates that around $2.1 billion is spent on food, with long and complex supply chains behind every meal. But is it being done as well as it could be? Experts say the system is falling short, especially when it comes to nutritional value and the environment and support for local industry. With me is Leah Galvin, a Churchill Fellow and the project lead of the report released by Good Food Purchasing Australia. Leah, welcome to Life Matters.
Good morning, Tegan, and to your listeners. Thanks for having us.
So, Leah, hospital food, to take the probably the example that most people have had a touchstone with, it's always had a bit of a reputation. It's not meant to be a fine dining experience. Why was it important to you to look into this?
It's important for a few reasons. And obviously, if you've got a loved one in hospital recovering, then we all know that nutrition and so the meals is an important part of their recovery. But at the moment, we have a system where, because of the nature of the purchasing of food, it's really quite difficult for people working in food service kitchens to serve up the best.
How many Australians are eating these meals? And like, who are they?
It's literally millions of meals each year because of all of those different settings that you mentioned, residential aged care, hospitals, long day care, so that's our kids, even the defence system, Meals on Wheels, schools in some places as well, and even Antarctica. All of these settings, governments, whether they're state or the Commonwealth, having food purchased for the meals made in those settings.
So it's not one single supply chain, but it's definitely a centralised system.
At a state level, it's very centralised. There's generally centralised contracts. This is a bit dry, this material, but the part of the problem is that we're seeing that those centralised systems are quite dominated by large multinationals, often offshore foreign-owned suppliers. And what we'd like to see is changes that could create pathways for small, medium, local and even First Nation producers to participate. And this could deliver huge benefits for the health, sustainability and also the resilience of our food system in Australia.
So you mentioned small producers, Indigenous-owned producers, etc. What are the barriers to them being part of this system at the moment?
At the moment, the system really tries to streamline as much as it possibly can and have as few providers as possible. Whereas when we look to the overseas models, they're trying to, in fact, do something quite different and create systems that allow small and medium businesses to participate and really relocalising that procurement so that within a region, for example, a district hospital or something could look to, you know, local farmers and really contribute to those thriving farming communities.
It's Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm talking to Leah Galvin, who's the project lead for Good Food Purchasing Australia, about a new report that for the first time has mapped all of the different centralised food channels in Australia. You've probably had a meal in a hospital at least once before. You might have encountered meals in aged care or defence or prison. If it's something that you've had a touch point with, I'd love to know what you made of those meals, whether you'd do something differently if it was up to you. One person says hospital food is shocking. It's time for a change for all food chain suppliers. Another said, I work in a children's prison and the catered food there is universally disliked and wasted. Children beg for agency around food choices and this is a missed opportunity for learning about health and nutrition and the benefits of shared meal preparation. Another says, we were surprised at how much food waste is being tolerated and started building fully autonomous robotic kitchens here in Brisbane to address this problem. Healthcare, aged care, defence and government services is only a small portion of the problem. If you look at the material effect that staffing shortages has in the sector on immigration, you see how this is a contributor to some of Australia's biggest problems. There are so many tentacles to this, Leah. How do you untangle it so that you could start recommending changes?
Well, I love those comments because it really demonstrates that there's so many different touch points and perspectives on this. But what's been important for us in this work is to really look at what has worked successfully overseas. Like, we're about 20 years behind some locations. I did a Churchill Fellowship in 2022 and visited seven different countries to look at the models and approaches that are being used. And they've really progressed quite a long way. And it's been, importantly, it's been a way to help different countries to prepare their food systems for things like climate change, to create more jobs, and also to really contribute to local economies as well as those health and well-being outcomes, because it's so important that people in these settings who we would often consider to be at risk of being food insecure are getting the best food they possibly could. It should be fresh, it should be tasty, it should be local, and the overseas example shows that that's quite achievable.
Like you said, there's aspects around sustainability and that sort of thing that I want to get into, but I really want to talk about nutritional quality. Also here with us is Dr. Stephanie Godrich, Senior Lecturer of Public Health in Nutrition at Edith Cowan University. Stephanie was also involved in the report. Stephanie, were you surprised by what you were seeing when it came to the nutritional quality of the meals?
Yes, I was, because like Leah said, often the people that are in these institutions might be vulnerable or vulnerable points of their lives, like children. You know, they really need to be set up for achieving their best in terms of health, their educational outcomes, people in hospital recovering possibly from surgery or illness, and also thinking about people in aged care. They're at the older stages of their life, and so they have different nutritional needs as well. So yes, we were surprised, and as Leah mentioned about the overseas examples, it was heartening to see how far ahead they are and really what we can learn from these other countries.
Yeah, I want to get to that. One of the things I wanted to also mention, Stephanie, is aged care is one of the sectors we're talking about here. There was the Royal Commission into Aged Care. Quality and nutrition was one of the big focus points of that Royal Commission. Have we seen improvements since then?
Well, we know that in November 2025, there was the new standard that has come into place, so the strengthening aged care quality standards, and that brings about a significant change. And so there is the new standard 6, which focuses on food, nutrition and dining. So it has a quality statement where meals need to be nutritious, they have to have variety, they need to be appetizing for people, safe, and in line with the needs and preferences of older people. And thinking also more broadly than just the nutrition, it has to support an enjoyable dining experience for people and a sense of belonging, because that is such a part of that rhythm of the day. People in aged care look forward to those meals and coming together and socialising as well.
Leah, that sounds like a lot of things that one meal service is meant to be doing when there's a budget for this. And at the moment, we're looking at $2 billion, north of $2 billion. How do you balance the need to keep things economical with the sorts of things that Stephanie's mentioning there?
Oh, great question, Tegan. And one of the really important findings of this that's in the report is that, in fact, we've found that these sort of healthy, sustainable, relocalising approaches actually don't necessarily cost more. In fact, there were many examples where it actually saved money, plus creating these other benefits of the food being fresher and, you know, adding to the local economic activity, which is really important in our region. So I think price shouldn't be a reason for why we wouldn't do this work, but really, at the moment, all we're doing is focusing on best price rather than best practice. And best practice does include those other elements. So health, sustainability, considering economies, sourcing locally, they're the things that we can include in the system. And also factoring how we include small and medium businesses so that we reduce the domination of large multinationals at the moment.
It's Life Matters on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor, talking to Leah Galvin from Good Food Purchasing Australia and Dr. Stephanie Godrich from Edith Cowan University about how we could maybe do a better job of providing good food in places like hospitals, aged care, prison, defence force, these centralised food procurement channels in Australia. Maybe not something you've thought about before, although if you've had one of these meals, maybe you have thought about it. I'd love you to tell me about that experience. You are sending me a lot of texts. It really seems to be quite a mixed bag throughout here. Anne says, I've had two different hospital admissions in the last 6 months. What surprised me was the high sugar foods on the menu. Every meal had fruit juice and a soft, easy to eat dessert. I would imagine when people are not feeling very well, these foods would be eaten in preference to, in inverted commas, real food. Another says, Chef Stefano De Pieri in Mildura is transforming the meals at Mildura Hospital. Another compliment for Mater Mothers Public Hospital in Brisbane from Belinda said, I was pleasantly surprised by the quality of the food. So, Leah, it's obviously possible for these institutions to do things well. We've heard the Brisbane example and the Mildura example. What would it take to broaden that across the whole country?
Well, that's very encouraging, isn't it? And this is actually what we found when we were doing this piece of research too, is there's real inconsistency, but it really shouldn't matter which institution, which hospital, which aged care provider you're in. You should be able to be sure that the food's going to be tasty, fresh, delicious, and that you're going to enjoy it. So what we know we need to do to actually address these problems is similar to the overseas models, is that we need to introduce some mandatory targets, legislate for healthy, local, sustainable food and for standards for public food purchasing. And right now, it couldn't come at a more critical time with Australia's food systems and supply chains all at risk because of the fuel crisis. So this really needs to be, we need to seize this moment and get on with it.
Stephanie, you mentioned before that you were pretty inspired by what you saw in other countries. What would you call out specifically there?
Well, some examples are in France, they mandate that 50% of their school meal ingredients are locally sourced. And then in other countries like Brazil and Uruguay, they legislate that at least 30% of the public food budgets purchase from family-owned farms, which are closer to where the institutions are located. And so those two examples for me, I live in a rural area, there are lots of farmers near where I live, and thinking about how vitally important that would be for their businesses to keep the economy in these rural areas supported. We know that farmers are finding it really difficult right now in Australia. And so to think that we could shift the budgets towards supporting more of these smaller family-owned farms, I think is absolutely fantastic. But then also thinking about the nutrition standards across 14 countries had nutrition criteria, and I thought that that was quite amazing to see how many just in the European Union were focusing on better nutrition for people in these institutions. And then also thinking about the USA, where institutions are serving breakfast, lunch and dinner, they're required to serve 5 different servings of fruits and vegetables. So these are great opportunities to make sure that people in these institutions are meeting their nutritional needs while they're there.
So Leah, one of the other big focus points for this study was about environmental sustainability. What is the environmental impact of the current system?
Well, it's probably news to many people to hear that, in fact, our food system contributes 1/3 of our emissions here in Australia. So when we're talking about food system, we're talking about all of the things from soil health, growing and harvesting of food, distribution, wholesaling, retail, and also the management of waste as well. So it's a large impost. It's CSIRO last year published a very interesting report saying that they estimate that the environmental hidden cost for food systems at the moment is about somewhere in the vicinity of $250 billion a year in Australia. So that means that at the moment, the way we're producing food, the way we're distributing food is causing climate impact. So we really need to reconsider that. And that was actually one of the things that was quite popular in some surveys we did with people looking at sort of sentiment around the things that they wanted included in food purchasing. And like 3 in 4 people have said that they would prefer governments to be more mindful about the climate impacts of the food that they're purchasing.
Leah, what are the long-term costs of not getting this right?
Well, I think the fuel crisis is showing us at the moment what some of those might look like. Relying on long supply chains is really risky. We really need to consider these relocalisation approaches. It's interesting to, you know, Google and see what the rest of the world's talking about. We're all having the same conversation. We're all talking about how we need to shorten our supply chains. And actually, that's one way to reduce climate impact as well. We need to decrease our reliance on foods coming from overseas and from long distances, particularly when we produce those foods here in Australia. I live in Tasmania, and we discovered that, in fact, the Tasmanian government is buying raspberries from Chile, even though Tasmania is the largest producer of raspberries in Australia. So there are some crazy things going on in the procurement system that if we made the investment in, you know, sort of the infrastructure that can help manage this middle piece between farms and what kitchens need, and then also had these mandatory targets, we could certainly turn it around.
Stephanie, do we underestimate the importance of food for the groups of people that find themselves in places like hospitals, aged care facilities, long day cares?
I think so, because like we've talked about, not only can it meet their nutritional requirements, you know, we know that people in, for example, aged care have higher nutritional needs, particularly around protein, trying to reduce risk of falls, trying to help them recover faster from illness and injury, but also thinking about children in daycare. You know, they're young, their brains and bodies are developing. And if they don't get all the foods that they need, we can see issues like iron deficiency, poor growth and development. They can have serious and lifelong impacts on children. And so if we can provide people, particularly children, with nourishing food to set them up for life, that's really going to help boost their capacity for learning, you know, their health and well-being. And so it's really helping their whole bodies. So that's why we want to see ingredients that are tasty, fresh, local. So if that food is good, tastes good, looks good, children are more likely to enjoy it. But also people in hospitals, you know, it's something to look forward to. It's delicious. People in aged care, it's meeting their nutritional needs to help them live a better quality of life for longer.
So Leah, what's next in this project? You've quantified it. What next?
So as a response to the report, Good Food Purchasing Australia has been formed, and we're a newly formed action-oriented initiative. And our objectives are around connecting policy, research and practice, because we want to transform how Australian governments are sourcing and purchasing food at the moment. We're going to bring together experts across health, agriculture, environment, purchasing and community wellbeing to advocate for a smarter and fairer and more sustainable public food system, which we think is absolutely possible here. And we can increase the use of fresh local produce and redirect that spending to Australian farmers and producers and produce real benefits for Australia.
Leah, Stephanie, thank you both so much for joining me. Leah Galvin is a Churchill Fellow and the project lead of the report released by Good Food Purchasing Australia. Dr. Stephanie Godrich is Senior Lecturer of Public Health Nutrition at Edith Cowan University. And thanks for sharing your thoughts as well. Robin says, I've worked as a public hospital dietitian and have been shocked by the change in focus in the food service system. As dietitians, we had no power to change the menu apart from it meeting minimum requirements and appropriate for medical conditions like allergies. Whenever we tried to address the problem, food service just said that they receive very few complaints from patients. Unfortunately, asking patients to complain is difficult but powerful. Food services is driven by dollars, not nutrition.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.